Okay, I think we're good. All right. So, may die in the middle, but it'll be okay. Fine. So, this week, because we have a little bit of a shorter time, and because we're right at the end, I wanted to discuss the verse that the Rambam brings to corroborate, to support this 11th Iker, and I wanted to also use this as somewhat of a springboard to bring everything together. We've discussed a lot of different related topics over the course of this principle, and I wanted to kind of bring everything together now and tie it down into this point of when the Rambam brings, you know, the verse is not going to be, you know, loosely connected, so the verse is hopefully going to be supportive and thematically related to the Iker that he's bringing, and so see how the Rambam's choice of a verse of the source text for this Iker really is very much related to the central theme, the significant central theme of the Iker that we've been discussing. So, just in terms of kind of rehashing some of the things that we've been discussing, so we pointed out that the Iker, the way the Rambam says it, is not just the fact that there is reward, right? The Rambam does not start off with the fact that there is schar, but that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem is Meshalim Gemul Tov, that Hashem is the one who gives the schar, which we pointed out in related in the last line of the Iker, that the Rambam writes, not just that Hashem gives schar, not just that there is reward and punishment, but the Rambam somewhat interestingly goes back to the 10th principle and ties it into the 11th, says that he brings his verse, which we'll see in a moment, but he says there's a proof from here that God knows who is serving him and who is sinning in order to pay good, to compensate, to give reward to one who does good and to punish the one who does bad. So the Rambam ties in the God's knowledge of what's going on in the world into this Iker, the idea of reward and punishment. And we discussed way back when, if Corey can remember, that the idea is that schar, reward and punishment, is not just something that was set up in creation, that, you know, you play the pop shot, and each time the ball goes into the hoop, it hits a little ticker and you know, counts more points on the scoreboard, right? The world is not just set up in such a way that there are certain tickers that if you hit them, then it adds more points on your scoreboard, but that God knows what you are doing, and in response to your actions, God responds with consequences. God himself is paying attention and interested in what you are doing, and as a response to what you are doing, he rewards or punishes. And we discussed at the time that there's, you know, the 10th and the 11th Iker, the idea of God's knowledge and the idea of reward and punishment, that they work together, and they're both necessary, that if there would be reward and punishment, if there would be God's knowledge without reward and punishment, so then God knows what's going on, but if he doesn't care, so then God doesn't if he doesn't care, so then okay. If there's no response to what we're doing, so then your actions become effectively meaningless. So to have God's knowledge without reward and punishment would mean God knows what's going on, but doesn't seem like it matters very much. If we have reward and punishment not connected to God's knowledge, so then you have, consequences for your action, but they're not, part of some some relationship with God. It's just that, you know, the point system has been set up, and you do the right thing, and you'll get the points. But God knows what's going on and rewards and punishes accordingly. Together, those two mean that my actions contribute to a relationship that I have with God, that God knows what I'm doing, and it matters to God what I'm doing, and there's significance to my actions, and those actions contribute to a purpose, and God is paying attention to them, and God cares and takes note of what I'm doing and responds to what I'm doing. God is not apathetic to what I'm doing. He's not a removed, cold observer, but that what I'm doing, that God takes into account, it matters to him, he cares about my actions, and therefore there's a response to them. That was point number one that we discussed. We also discussed step two, is the next thing that the Rambam writes, that it's an important part of this ikkar, important part of this principle, is not just the fact that there is reward and punishment, but that the reward is Olam Haba, and that the punishment is Kares. Right? So we discussed that the idea, it's not just that, you know, if you do the right thing, that you'll get good stuff. And that if you do the wrong thing, then you know, you're going to get hurt. There's going to be pain for doing bad and candy for doing good. That's much more than that. That Olam Haba, as we discussed, went through the sources from the Rambam and other sources, that Olam Haba is not just a nice prize. Olam Haba is being connected to God. It's a relationship that you build, is the connection to God. That is the result of your mitzvos. Is not just that there's that you get some good stuff. It's not just that God kept track and he's like Santa Claus, and if you were nice, then he gives you a prize, and if not, then you get charcoal. Right? That's what they say, right?
Yeah, but you could use charcoal.
Here, like actual coal. Like if you're living in like Alaska, you probably want to, you know, pee pretty bad around that time of year. Make sure you get extra charcoal.
But Rabbi, are you saying that the Olam Haba?
I'm not saying God is Santa Claus.
No. Lahavdil.
Yeah.
Are you saying there's no in between little punishments and little prizes? There's no if mitzvah goes. A mitzvah, right?
Yeah.
So, mitzvah is like one mitzvah could be. I mean, we get rewarded sometimes in this world, right?
So we discussed that also. We said the Rambam's
and punished in this world.
The Rambam's explanation of reward and punishment in this world was that they are facilitators of further serving of a god, or their detriment to further serving of God. That a person's reward in this world is the ability to facilitate, to make it easier for him to serve Hashem. If he's doing the right thing, then he wants to serve Hashem, so then Hashem makes it easier for him to serve Hashem. Hashem lightens his load and gives him the ability to focus more on devotees to Hashem. And if he's showing that he doesn't care about serving Hashem, then God makes it more difficult for him to serve Hashem. There's the famous Rambam that says that the reason that Paro was punished in taking away his free will, and then gets punished for the things that he does after his free will is taken away, is because he's responsible for losing his own free will. The result of his own misdeeds was kept getting worse and worse and worse, to the point where it was taken away from him, the ability to do God's will, but that was his own fault that it was taken away from him, and therefore he continues to be punished for it. But that was the Rambam's basic idea, conceptualization of reward in this world. Is Rambam takes very literally mitzvah goreres mitzvah. The one mitzvah brings along another mitzvah, because the reward, the mitzvah goreres mitzvah, sheskar mitzvah mitzvah. The reward for a mitzvah is a mitzvah. The Rambam understands the reward in this world of a mitzvah is the ability that God grants, the ability to keep further mitzvahs.
So Rambam doesn't believe the concept of like the $10 stuff
being
double the amount back.
It could be that you would. But it would only be for the purpose of that is not because God wants to give you pleasure in this world as a reward for your mitzvah, but that God wants to give you further ability to do more mitzvos. And so but in answer to what you started off with, that are there degrees? So yeah, there certainly are degrees. The first Olam Haba is relationship with God. It's not a binary either you do or don't. You could have more or less of a relationship with the Kohen Baruch Hu. But the point is that Olam Haba is not just a candy bag. It's not just it's not just pleasure. It is a relationship with God, and that's part of the ikker. The idea of this ikker is that you have that the result of mitzvos is that is the ultimate reward is that relationship with God. Something that it's hard for a person starting off to relate to that as a reward, and therefore we have mito shelo lishma balishma. But the ultimate reward is that connection to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, is the state of being connected to God, and that's the important understanding of this ikar, or of this of sarv onesh, is not just that you do reward and you get something else, is that the relationship to God is the result of the mitzvos. And we discussed also, very related to that, we discussed that the Rambam, the way he phrases it, that reward is for avoda, reward is for doing the mitzvos, and punishment is for doing the averos. Not that reward is for doing mitzvos and not doing averos, and a punishment is for doing averos and not doing mitzvos. That reward is related to mitzvos, and punishment is related to averos. So we mentioned the idea because the concept being that a vote being Ovid Hashem, that the positive bringing yourself closer to Hashem, we mentioned the Ramban, that mitzvos asei are keneged ava, mitzvos asei, positively doing something for Hashem. That's an expression of ahavas Hashem. When you don't do a mitzvah, so what you have done is you have failed to bring yourself closer. If there is a punishment, the punishment is a very passive kind of. The punishment is that you is the missed opportunity to be closer. And the same thing the other way around with the Avera, with the exception with two noted exceptions that are explicit in the Torah of Bris Mila and Korban Pesach. But other than those two, where it's explicit, which are kind of somewhat fundamental points of the relationship with Hashem, Bris Mila is the Bris, Pesach, Korban Pesach is the beginning of the creation of Am Yisrael being brought out of Mitzrayim. But with the exception of those, the mitzvah asay is bringing yourself closer to God. And if you miss that, so there's no you don't get hit for that. You don't get punished for that. You missed an opportunity to come closer. And if for and by averos, by not doing an avera, you haven't served Hashem. We mentioned there's a certain obedience in not doing an avera. I'm doing it as an expression of listening to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's a certain positive nature in that, and there might be a certain reward for that. But in the essence of the avera, not doing an avera doesn't create a closeness with Hashem. If you say I'm not going to hit you, it's not being nice to you to not hit you. It's withholding from being mean to you to not hit you. So the punishment is for when you've done an avera, you distance yourself from Hashem. When you don't do an avera, you refrain from distancing yourself further. But again, the idea being, just to put everything kind of into one focused kind of rubric, that the point is that mitzvos are not, the reward for mitzvos is not something external to the mitzvah. It's not that there's, on the one hand, there's your count of mitzvos and your count of averos, and we'll score it up and we'll tally it up and we'll see, and we'll have, the prize room waiting in the other room and see how much you're allowed to get, how much you're entitled to. The reward for mitzvos is not external to the mitzvah. The mitzvah itself creates the reward for the mitzvah. The reward for the mitzvah is the relationship to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, which is the result of the mitzvah. It's not something that your mitzvah is over here and the reward for it is over there. The mitzvah is the reward for the reward for the mitzvah is the mitzvah, is the relationship with God that comes out of the mitzvah. It's a direct cause and effect that you're that the mitzvah creates is a step forward in that relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, and therefore that creates the reward for the mitzvah. And therefore, the ikar is that the theme, the main point of the ikar is the fact that a Kaddish Baruch Hu cares about our actions. Our actions are significant, and they have intrinsic value. They have intrinsic significance that our actions create that relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, and that it's a direct result of our actions. Is that the actions themselves lead to the star, lead to the reward, which is that relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, and it's not something external. It's not something like you get a certain amount of dollars and now you could buy something with it. It is non-transferable. It is yours that you've created, you've made yourself into a person with a relationship to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and that is the reward for mitzvos, and that is the real point of the ikar, is understanding the significance of your actions and the value of your actions and the intrinsic, inherent value of mitzvos and the inherent negative value of averos. And therefore, fitting into the general structure of the ikrim as we've been discussing them, the idea being that a person who sees a mitzvah as basically there's a certain, you know, benefit associated with a mitzvah, gives you a certain amount of points. So a person could start making make a calculation for themselves, you know, this mitzvah, okay, I realize, you know, I'm going to get 20 mitzvah points for this, and that's going to get me a certain amount of pleasure. But you know what? Ham sandwiches are also a certain amount of pleasure, and right now, you know, I'm really hungry, and I'm really craving the ham sandwich, and right now the ham sandwich seems, you know, worth the trade for the mitzvah. A person could start, if the mitzvah is merely gets you a certain, you know, currency that will be exchanged for reward, so we'll start dealing in currencies. Which one's more valuable to me? And you know what? Even most of the time, you'll realize that, you know, the reward for mitzvahs is really awesome. But, you know, it's not going to be that you will automatically choose to do the mitzvah. A person could make the cheshbonos for themselves. Which one's worth it more for me? And, you know, I'll do the mitzvahs now because it seems like the better idea. And more than this is that a person will not be able to, just by human nature, a person cannot subject themselves absolutely to being a mercenary. If you are doing something because of how much you're getting paid for it, a person cannot commit themselves, commit their entire life and their entire being into doing what gets them the most profit. That's just not the way that a person works. A person will not be able to be indefinitely submitted to something which is just a calculation of you know, what kind of profit do I get out of it. And therefore, the purpose, the unifying idea of this ikar is the fact that my actions are intrinsically significant, they have intrinsic value, and the meaning of my actions is the direct result of the actions themselves. So with that introduction and summary in mind, so now we're going to see the Rambam's proof text, his source text for this ikar. So the Rambam writes, underlined here, V'hapasuk hamore ahayasod hazeh, amro, the verse, or maybe we should say verses, which demonstrates this yesod, this principle, is when Moshe says, Im tisa chatasam, that if you will, if you Hashem will tolerate their sin, then great. The im ayin, and if not, macheni na misifrecha. And if not, then erase me, please erase me from your book. The heshivo yisale, and Hashem responded to him, mi asher chatali emchano misifri, hu asher emchano misifri, that the one who has sinned to me, he is the one who I will erase from my book. So, we have to understand, was Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, like my 4-year-old son, you know, if we're doing something, we're playing a game, and you know, he does something, you know, somewhat inappropriate, and I tell him, you know, you can't do that, so he says, fine, I'm not playing anymore, right? Can't have everything my way, so I don't want anything. So, you know, that's a 4-year-old's reaction is, you know, you're not going to give me everything I want, so I want nothing. Moshe Rabbeinu was not a 4-year-old, right? Moshe Rabbeinu is a God. If you're not going to forgive them, then you know what? Just, you know, I'm out of here. Just erase me too. I don't want to be part of this. So, what exactly was the conversation going on here between the Kaddish Baruch Hu and Moshe? Moshe had some conception. He says, God, erase me from your book. And God says, the one who I'm going to erase from my book is the person who did something wrong. That's the one that I'm going to erase. So, turn the page. We have a shorter source sheet this week. And not only is it shorter, but I put it in the wrong order. So if you can turn to the...
You didn't finish the underlined sentence,
though. Okay, we read that. Okay, so it says, Raya, so you see from here, Sheyadua Lefana Va'ovid Va'chote, that you see that Hashem knows who is serving him and who the sinner is, L'shalim G'mul Tov Hazeh V'la'ano Shazeh, in order to reward this one and to punish that one. So if you turn to the last page, because I accidentally put things out of order, so the final page here is the Ramban's commentary to these verses. So the Ramban, after quoting a couple other explanations, the one he's most recently coming off of is the Ibn Ezra, who he says that he doesn't like the Ibn Ezra's explanation. So it's three lines in, he says, Lefi Daiti. In my understanding, Ki Moshe Amar V'ata Im Tisa Chatasam, if you will tolerate, if you will carry the burden of their sin, Berachamecha, in your mercy, if you in your mercy will decide that as an act of Rachamim, you will dismiss their hate, dismiss their Aveira, so then that's good. Let's do it that way. V'im Ayin, and if not, Macheni Na Tach Tam Mi Sefer Achayim V'esbol Ani Onsham, says Moshe Rabbeinu, then erase me in their place. Instead of them, erase me in their place from the Sefer Achayim V'esbol Ani Onsham, and I will be the one to suffer their punishment. Moshe is not just saying, you know what, Hashem, if you're not going to forgive them, then, you know, just, like, erase me. Then, you know, I quit also. Moshe was saying, Hashem, we have two mahalchim here, two approaches we could go. Either you erase their Aveira with your rachamim, just as an act of mercy, or erase their Aveira, erase their chet, or their onesh, through taking my zchuyos, my merit, and using that to erase their account for their chataim, or to punish me instead of punishing them. That was what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. There's a certain logic. Moshe Rabbeinu is not arbitrarily just saying, you know what, God, do me instead of them. Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, in a certain sense, the Medrash says, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Lech rei ki shiches amcha, to go down from Harsinai, because your nation, Moshe, has done something terribly wrong, right? What does it mean, your nation? The Medrash says, because you, Moshe, of your own accord, accepted the Erev Rav. And the Erev Rav were the instigators of the Chet HaEgel. So it's your nation that was Shiches. Right? So Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, you know what? As much as Klal Yisrael participated in the Chet HaEgel, but we could really, you know, trace it back to me. I was the one who brought the Erev Rav out. So you know what? Let's assign the blame to me and leave them and leave them out of it. Right? And you know what? The truth is, in Hilchos Mamon and Choshen Mishpat, you really have such a thing. And that's really the way it works in monetary law. In monetary law, if Corey borrows money, who do you want to borrow money from?
Nobody.
Nobody. If Corey borrows money from nobody, so then I can go over to nobody and pay nobody on behalf of Corey. Whether or not some machlokas, perhaps, if Corey has to want it, but certainly nobody can't say to me, I don't want the money from you, I want it from Corey. No, if I want to pay off Corey's debt, so I can pay off Corey's debt. In monetary law, that's how it works. Right? So Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, so let me pay off their debt. So I'll take the onish, I'll be sovel the onish on their behalf, and there's even a certain logic to it. And that'll be the way that will continue the survival of Klal Yisrael, even though that they may deserve destruction. And Hashem responds, but Kadosh Baruch Hu Yeshiva, last line here, Kadosh Baruch Hu responded, Hachotei Emcha Misifri, the one who sinned, the one who actually did the sin, he's the one who gets erased from my book, V'lo Oscha Shelo Chatasa, and not you, that you didn't sin. You are not the one who actually did the sin, Moshe, and therefore you are not the one who can get the onesh for the sin. I mean, just in slightly more explicit terms, if you turn to the middle page, the Sfarno, it's really saying the same idea, says it a little bit more explicitly, says, Im tisa chatasam ve'im ayin macheni mitnah misifecha, hein tirtza lases chatasam ve'hein shelo tirtza lases. Whether or not you want to, if you want, you bear the burden, and even if you don't want to bear the burden of their sin, machei as hazchuyo shali misifecha, take, erase the merits that I have from your book, v'sim l'cheshbonam, and add my merits to their cheshbon, add my merits to their account. Kidei sheyizku v'slich, in order that they then merit to be forgiven. And Hashem responds, mi asher chapaliyim chal misifri, the one who sinned to me, he's the one that I will erase from my book. Mi hu shechapali she'em chal misifri as zichu yosav, kidei sheyizku v'slich osavam. The one who sinned to me is the one whose mitzvos, whose zechuyos, whose merits I might erase in order to account for a corresponding sin, a corresponding avon. Zero ayel olam, says Hashem, that doesn't happen. Ki hadin lefanai hu hevek zev, the din that I have, the judgment that I execute is opposite of that. Ki amnam yisa kol echad onesh avono, the yikabel schar zechuyosav, each person will suffer the sin for his own avera and will receive the reward for his own mitzvah. She'ein mitzvah mechabe avera, a mitzvah does not extinguish an avera. Kol shekein shelo asim zechuyosecha lecheshbonan, and how much more so that I'm not going to take your zechuyos and apply it to their cheshbonos. Says Hashem in response to Moshe, that's not the way it works, Moshe. It doesn't work that I take, you know, we have just have a balance here, and you know, a mitzvah is a certain amount of positive points, and a veil is a certain amount of negative points, and you know, the positives will outweigh the negatives, and it'll end up with, you know, did you in the end get, you know, a net value of whatever your total is once we work out all of your cheshbonos. That's not the way it works. You'll get a punishment for your averos, and you'll get a reward for your mitzvos, and they don't cancel each other out. And how much more so that I'm not going to take your mitzvos and apply it to their cheshbon to wipe out their averos. The response of Moshe, the response of Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, you know what, there's an account here, there's a certain amount of positive credit that I've accrued, and I want that to be applied to their cheshbon. And the chiddush, that which that Hashem was revealing in his response, was exactly this point, was, no, Moshe, that's not the way it works. Your mitzvos are not a separate account, it's not a savings account that you could transfer to someone else. The mitzvos that you have, you get reward for your mitzvos. Why? Because that's exactly everything that we've been explaining. Because your mitzvah, the reward for your mitzvos is not external to your mitzvos. It's not a credit somewhere that if you wanted, you could hand it off to someone else. The reward for your mitzvah is a result of the mitzvah itself. The reward for the mitzvah is the mitzvah. That relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu that you created through the mitzvah, that is the reward for the mitzvah. You can't give that to someone else because someone else didn't do it. They don't have that. It's not something that you can transfer. And the Avera, the same thing with the Avera. You can't transfer the Avera. You can't just cancel out the Avera. There's a certain relationship here, and the relationship is what it is. It's not just a calculation that we're going to balance out the accounts at the end. That and the response, the, exactly what was nischadish, what was revealed in this conversation with Moshe, was exactly this point about the nature of mitzvos and averos, that mitzvos are that mitzvahs are intrinsic, that the result of the mitzvah is the mitzvah, and the result of the aveira is the aveira, and it's not something you can just hand off to someone else. The mitzvah is intrinsic to you. You perform the mitzvah, so you are the one who now has the result of performing a mitzvah, and that's something which is unique to you, and that's the yisod of schar v'onesh, is not just the fact that there's goodies for doing mitzvahs and there's punishments for doing aveiros, but that there is intrinsic value inherent in the mitzvah, which you have accomplished for yourself by doing the mitzvah, and the opposite in regards to aveiros. You had a hand up.
Yes, I have 2 points.
Well, you only had one hand up. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, at the beginning, it occurred to me that the whole conversation sounded, a little bit like a different religion where some guy died for all our sins.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
And on the flip side, there's something called Zchus Avos. We rely on, it seems, on the merits of our fathers. Exactly what Moshe was saying. I was relieved to find the Rambam and the Ramban saying that we're not.
Right,
we don't do a transfer system.
Yeah, we don't do that die for our sins.
But
didn't you just?
But what about the
Mammon? That you can do that for monetary.
Yeah, in money you can do that. Yeah, okay.
But what about Zchus Avos? Why do we say, all day on Yom Kippur we're saying, please don't kill us because of our forefathers' merits.
Right. So that's a good question, I don't know if we could do a 15-second explanation of how Zchus Avos works, but just to start off the discussion, the basic point, what is Zchus Avos? Does it just work that I don't have to do anything and I just say, I come from a good family and therefore, just ignore everything I do? So Zchus Avos is a way in which we frame how Hashem looks at our actions. 15 seconds, I'm not going to be able to discuss exactly what that means, but Zchus Avos is not a free pass. Zchus Avos does not mean, I know I was bad, but they were good, so just ignore everything that I've done wrong. Zchus Avos means that your actions are looked at in a certain context of a relationship that we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not some random guy who, is no hope and no potential. Look at the potential that I have, the family that I come from, the relationship that we have, and my actions should be looked at in a certain framework within a certain context, and that's really what we're trying to do with Zchus Avos. It's not to borrow their merits and just use that as a pass for us, but to use that as a context. We always use Zchus Avos to invoke Hashem's rachamim. That Hashem, look at our actions in a greater context of a relationship that we have with you, and therefore give us the chance to try again, because we know that we have that potential. All right, we will.